We trust you enjoyed that number and how true it is. We didn't see, we weren't there. We didn't see, and yet we heard. And by the Lord, by the grace of God, we believe. Isn't that true with you today? How wonderful it is. Now this is the mercies of God coming to you from Grand Rapids. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, thank you again for the precious privilege we have of broadcasting thy truth by the means of radio. O Lord, unctionize this broadcast. Make it a communication of thine for the salvation of lost sinners as well as the edification of thy people. Because, Lord, thy people are burdened. Many of them are downhearted, discouraged, and we find they know little of the Word of God, and that's one reason they're so discouraged and downhearted. And then, Lord, we know the devil is making an assault upon thy church at this hour. And so we pray, oh, step in, because we are reminded again, when the enemy will come in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. And, Lord, that's what you're doing, and we just praise your name for it. But get glory to thy name in this broadcast, and thank you again for this privilege. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're delighted to come into your homes by the means of radio. This is the pastor, Pastor Peter Nortier, or Nortier, speaking to you. And always remember, we count it a privilege to be a radio guest in your home. Some of you hear us in the morning, some in the afternoon, some at night. Whenever it is, we come into your homes by the means of radio. We always count it a privilege, and we always pray and ask the Lord to make the broadcast a blessing to your heart. Many of you are being blessed by it, but many of you have never sat down and dropped us a letter or a card. So we ask you, do so today, if you will. Our mailing address is very simple. It's the Mercies of God Association, or you may abbreviate and put MOGADOM, M-O-G-A, and the address, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, zip code 49505. The Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The zip code is 49505. We're also on the Internet, and so you can pick us up 24/7 on the Internet if you desire to do so. And we find the address of the Internet is podcastharbor.com. Podcastharbor.com. You'll turn, when you come to it, turn to the word media, turn to media, and you'll find there's the Mercies of God listed for you, and you can hear the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you will. Now, we want you to do this, if you will. Drop us a letter or a card, and then the second thing, you pray for us if you're on praying ground. Oh, we count on God's people to pray, because without prayer, this broadcast is nothing but an abomination of the flesh. So put us on your prayer list, if you will. Now let's get quiet there on the radio. Let's listen to another number, then we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. We'll be looking to hear from you this week, so don't disappoint us. Your Bibles, and turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 13. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 43 down through verse 52. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy, and with the Holy Ghost. Today we shall continue our general theme, the God of the Bible. And today our subject is the decree of absolute predestination. Now, the very name of this subject will cause some of you to sit up and perhaps begin to fume and sputter because of the ignorance existing with regard to this great subject. Before you turn me off, you listen carefully and follow along in your Bibles. Absolute predestination is found in the entire Bible, and to deny it or cry it down puts the individual on the side of those who are fighting against the Lord, and that means they're on the devil's, they're part of the devil's crowd. To understand the decree of absolute predestination, we must first of all know the meaning of the term. To predestinate means to determine beforehand, and this is what our Lord has done. Absolute predestination means that God has decreed in Himself from all eternity, by the most wise and holy counsel of His own will, freely and unchangeably, all things whatsoever comes to pass, yet so thereby God is neither the author of sin, nor hath fellowship with any therein, nor is any violence offered to the will of the creature. This statement is verified by the Scripture in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 11, where we read, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient time the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it." Thus far we have given you the meaning of the term decree or predestination. Our next portion of study is the decree of predestination. The divine decree of predestination is a decree of God, whereby He ordained a certain number of particular persons to be predestinated unto eternal life for the praise of the glory of God's grace. Now, my friend, don't turn that dial. You sit and listen, because this truth is so, and you need to understand it, because the vast majority of you are ignorant of this great reality. Take your Bibles now with me, and turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, where we read one of the many proofs of Scripture which speak of predestination. Listen to what it says. "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Now take your Bibles again, and turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verses 29 through 30, where we read these words, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Now let's stop here for just a moment and sum this all up so we can fully understand our subject and begin to grasp the beauty of it in the next few moments. God, being sovereign, predestinated a fixed number to be saved and to inherit eternal life. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. This number is known only unto God, and every person who is ever to be saved comes to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and faith in Him. This is how simple predestination is, yet many fight over this great truth. Now what about you, my radio friend, at this hour? Are you one of the elect of God? The only way you're ever going to find out is for you to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Anything less is a false belief and contrary to the plain teaching of the Word of God. The great truth of God's predestination is God has a fixed number who are to be saved because they were included in the decree of predestination. Let me give you the Scripture regarding this, because many don't understand predestination and very few sermons are preached on it. In fact, in the majority of churches today, if you mention election and predestination, it's like waving a red flag in front of an angry bull, and you'll find out the congregation will become very angry. Very few sermons are preached on this subject because the vast majority are afraid to touch it due to the ignorance and their lack of studying of the Word of God. Now take your Bibles with me and turn to John chapter 6 and verse 37, where we read, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." In John chapter 17 and verses 9 through 11, we read again, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now you can see that predestination is absolute. God has a fixed number to be saved, and that number shall come to a saving knowledge of Christ. None of them can be lost. Now hold your seat as I give you this thought. Many believe and are taught this heresy. God casts a vote, the devil casts a vote, and man casts the deciding vote. The truth of the matter, however, is this. God does all the work. God has predestinated the person, the method, the times, or the time and the means by which all of the elect of God shall be saved. And rest assured of this, they're going to be converted. Some people call this a dangerous doctrine, but it sets forth their ignorance of God's predestination. The predestination of the Lord does no violence to the human will whatever. Instead, predestination destroys the natural inherent pride and self-sufficiency of man because it lays man in the dust, unable to do one thing concerning salvation, and gives God all the glory. Now you listen carefully like you've never listened before, because I want to give you this thought. As long as you think you have anything to do with your salvation, it's doubtful that you have come to Christ. This prominent I accepted Christ idea, which glorifies the flesh and exalts man's ability, is just a trick of Satan to keep you from being saved. Before you come to Christ, if you ever do, you will beg and plead for the Lord to save you and be made to wonder if He ever will. My Lord saves only lost people, and lost people are beggars crying out to be rescued. This is because they have come to a realization of their lost condition. And then, when they are rescued, they know the value of their rescue as well as being eternally grateful to their rescuer, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, has my Lord ever rescued you? Do you ever know what it means to be in a perishing position? Or if you don't know what it means to be rescued, my friend, you need to be, because this is the only way God saves sinners. In the decree of predestination, my Lord leaves nothing up to the chance or will of man. An old preacher was asked one day, "What did you have to do with your salvation?" He said, "Everything. I sought sin with everything I had, and the Lord stopped me and turned me completely around, as well as making me willing to come to Him." And my friend, that happens every time, because God's Word says, "Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power." Psalm 110, verse 3. God's decree of predestination determines the means of salvation and never deviates from this decree. The decree involves the person and work of Christ, who is the basis of our salvation. Let me ask you a question at this hour, my radio friend. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in an experiential relationship? Is He as real, or even more so to you, than any loved one that you have? Is He more important to you than your wife, or your husband, or your children, or your relatives, or anything that you have? If not, you have been tricked. And you do not, nor will you understand God's predestination and election. You see, to be one of the elect of the Lord, that person has to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you out there are resting on the doctrine of election, and some of you are resting on a covenant whereby you were taught that because your mother and father are in the church, then you are too. But my friend, that's not found in the Word of God. You see, to be one of the elect of God, that person has to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10 tells us this truth. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now, when God sets out to save a sinner, don't forget one thing. The Holy Spirit of God is also involved in it. And now, for the last few moments, I want to show you the second aspect in the degree of predestination is the sanctification of the Spirit of God. This means that the Holy Spirit of God sets apart the person to be saved and does a work in them prior to their and leading up to their redemption. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14 tells us these words. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the words, if you will, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Do you know where this puts the free willers today who fight predestination? It puts them in the camp of the enemy, because when they fight against God's truth, put it down, they have not yet been sanctified by the Spirit of God. Because if they were, they would believe the truth that I'm setting forth and not be angry, but instead rejoicing in the reality that an individual dare preach it like it should be and like it is. In sanctification of the Spirit, there comes a love of the truth, but there is also the production of repentance and faith. You see, my friend, you cannot and you will not believe until first you've been set aside by God the Holy Spirit. Remember now, you are sanctified by the Spirit, notice carefully, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. When the Spirit of God sets apart that individual, he does it mysteriously, he does it sovereignly, he does it marvelously, he does it wonderfully, and I'll tell you right now, he doesn't ask that person if they want to be sanctified or not either. He just moves upon them and broods upon them like he did upon the waters of the earth when it was under judgment. And we find the Spirit of God comes to that individual and broods over that sinner. And that sinner begins to become afraid. And that sinner begins to think. And that sinner begins to realize that he doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he becomes afraid, and then God begins to give him a love of the truth, and that love of the truth also leads to repentance and faith. You cannot and will not believe until first repentance and faith are granted you by the Lord. The finite will cannot be made willing or inclined by human instruction, external force, or by human persuasion. It must be the immediate operation of God the Holy Spirit, or that individual will never come. John 3, verses 6 through 8 tells us, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now hold your seat. This does away with this so-called popular movement of leading this person on a profession of faith or introducing that person to Jesus as is done in the religious circles of the land. My friend, only the Holy Spirit of God can bring a soul to Christ, because we find very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, the Scripture says that no man can confess that Jesus is the Lord except through or by the Holy Ghost. Now, predestination also does this. It guarantees the revelation of Christ to the soul for whom Christ died. Paul said Christ was revealed in him. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Scripture says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now Paul said that Christ was revealed in him. And Paul was a pattern of our salvation. Predestination also decrees that the believer is to walk in good works which God has ordained, for these are the evidences of the Lord having done a work in us. Last of all, the decree of predestination is the incentive more for mission work, because we are guaranteed by the Lord that the elect of God will come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We see also that predestination enhances human responsibility, because every person has this obligation laid upon them. It is your responsibility to find out if you are one of the elect of God, and the only way you can find out is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and receiving Him as your Lord and your Savior. Anything less is rebellion and waywardness, resulting in damnation. Now in these closing moments, I want to ask you to face reality. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior? If not, you need to seek Him now while He may be found. You see, you have a responsibility laid upon you and laid upon you by the Lord God of heaven. And that responsibility is that you are to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. You may argue about election all you want to, but God has an elect people that shall be saved. And my hope is the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart even now and causing you to want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to save you. And may He do so is my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late. Thank you.